And we are going.
Are we? Hi, I'm talking through a tin can.
Hey, 1920s. How is it back in the past?
Hello there, Rob. Yeah, so, hey, it's me, Jersey.
And it's me, Rob Stenzinger.
So we're back doing warm-ups. This was an impromptu one. We were going to do a fancier one than this, but I ran into computer troubles. So we're recording this with me using the internal mic on my laptop. I haven't used a mic this ghetto for doing a podcast in I don't know how long.
It's so...
Years. Five.
Wow. You're like one of those dudes from the movie Trading Places eating like a hot dog or something, right? I mean...
Yeah, what was his name? Was it? Oh no, I used to know that actor's name because he was in a whole bunch of 40s movies. He was in His Girl Friday. It wasn't Bill Bellamy? No. I would look it up, but my computer is running Disk Utility right now, yeah. And I'm talking on an ancient laptop that if I touch anything weird, it's going to explode.
You have to turn the crank again, get it started. No, I don't know.
It doesn't matter. But yeah, I got the picture in my head of Trading Spaces of me eating stewed tomatoes from a can on the street right now because my computer blew up.
computer problems happen. What can you do?
Yeah, so, but just for introduction's sake, yeah, we're bringing back the warm-up, and we're doing this only as a forum-only / email list-only thing, right? Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's right. What I plan on doing is I want to set this up as a a members only blog on instead of like we could like point to it from the forum, but there's no reason why with our setup we couldn't actually put this as a blog and then they could people could download it via RSS if they want. As long as I'll have to test if that works for an authenticated blog, but I don't know.
You're already making promises.
Whatever. So if I fall on my face, I guess, hey, enjoy me, watch me go, I'm a clown. I'm a technology clown.
You don't want to be like Apple and have to apologize for your mistakes.
Let's see, where did I read this? I think it was, some people I follow on Pinterest post almost nothing but affirmation posters, and if I'm recalling correctly, I believe the willingness to be vulnerable is true strength.
So hey, how was your week, Rob?
So far, kind of awesome. I mean, it's things were pretty. Pretty crazy at my day job for a couple of weeks there, but things are balancing off again. And let's see, I'm experiencing intense immersive learning at in my web design class. So,
tell me about it. I mean, because teaching a class is an education for the instructor, especially a new instructor. I mean, you're learning, you're on top of so many things at once, right? You're trying to steer towards the content. You're trying to find the teachable moments. You're listening to the class. You're paying attention to what they're responding to and trying to adjust what you're doing to respond to what they're responding to. Mm-hmm. And then you're also potentially dealing with classroom management with people being tired, obstreperous, a little bit too chatty, or they're staring out the window. And what do? Do you yell at them and say, hey, get over here and pay attention to this? Or do you try to use that energy? If so, how do you use that energy? There's a lot to think about when you're teaching a class, right?
Yeah, I mean, I figure between hanging out with you and between like about 5-6 years of martial arts, I've got being in the moment down pretty good. but there's only so much of me. That's part of the challenge right now is that I've got a... let's see. I had 4 absences, so I had only 18 people in the class. on Monday, and what's interesting is I've realized within this last 4 months I'm an information addict, and I enjoy sitting in piles of information and sifting through and trying to do something useful with it moment by moment. Like if someone wants me to do like a pretty semi from the gut design decision at work. It can come from that kind of situation, or it could, or like in the classroom, all of a sudden I'm noticing like, oh, this student would need me to review that in a different way and use an example. Oh, this student, it needs different. And all of a sudden I'm noticing the attention that the students need, but it's beyond my bandwidth to provide it. And so that's, and what's cool, well, good news or bad news is I'm pretty at peace with being overwhelmed. So I'm just sitting there and I'll deal with things and keep moving. And I try not, I don't get, you know, yeah, I just don't worry about it. Right. I mean, if things are a little bit excited, that's really not too big of a challenge for me. But because I know, like, I'll make through one positive interaction at a time, I'll chip away at this overall situation and eventually it'll, you know, untangle. But here's a curveball is I have a different philosophy than a couple of the people that are running the program. And I'm not hierarchically motivated. So this is my understanding. Like, so my wife went to and got her master's degree in psychology. And then I asked her a lot of questions. And my understanding is there's people who are very into, hierarchies of authority. And I'm like, well, how does that work and why? And, I can only give my nutshell, you know, rudimentary impression of that. And it's like,
well, your armchair psychology.
Exactly. And it's essentially, it reinforces their worldview. They're worried about things if there is this lack of control or the illusion of control going on. And, they vastly prefer situations when they are exercising that control and feeling like it's being effective and whatnot. And so one in particular, not everyone, whatever. And I would say this to their face, so I'm not worried about that, but they just have a different outlook on that than I do, where for me, I think it's interesting if the class is getting rambunctious, right? And they're at where they're at. I'm at where I'm at. We're all going to do our best. And, at the same time, while I'm comfortable at that, I question the heck out of myself because I'm like, what's weak about my current approach? You know, because I look around and I see these students are at different ages and different stages of their development where some of them, I think, need the structure or need more structure. So how do I provide that without the authoritative angle? And that's a big puzzle for me right now. I just have puzzles up the wazoo, essentially, after this last class. So anyway, and I just unleashed on you.
No, you're absolutely right. Hold on, I gotta reboot my machine now. Disk utility's finished, and let's see if it repaired anything. I know that everybody's really interested in whether or not my machine is all right.
It's as important as what I'm talking about, at the very least.
I think I'm okay. I'm gonna restart. So now that that's done, no, this is something I struggle with all the time, Rob. Is I mean, and anybody who's listening is like, well, I'm not a teacher. What's this got to do with me? Well, this is also audience management, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Not everybody's going to respond to your particular style. And not everybody's going to understand your style. And they may respond to it in ways that you have to puzzle out. Like, why are you responding that way to me? You know, like in the past, you know, I know I've told on the show and other places before, there are people who actively dislike me. And it was not because I attacked them personally or anything. It was just because my worldview was somehow offensive to them, or something that I said was they felt it was incorrect and they took it, you know,
or irreverent towards something they revere.
That kind of thing, right? Yeah. And so, you know, your first reaction is like, wow, why are they responding that way to me? I sure didn't mean that. So then the next question is like, okay, well, let's figure out if it's worth investigating if this is this worth understanding. And in the classroom environment, I would say always yes. And then you got to figure out, like, okay, how can I now I'm going back to talking about classroom management again, is how can I respond and provide this particular student who needs this extra structure with what they need while not jeopardizing the kind of manic frenzy that my classrooms can become sometimes, which is what I look forward to, right? I like walking right on the edge of, it's just about out of control. If I let it go one more second, if I don't rein it in just a little bit, somebody could get hurt. That's where I like to ride my classes. Which can be exhausting sometimes. But yeah, when it comes to those kinds of kids, one of the answers I found, and I don't know if this is right or wrong, it's just it seems to be a stopgap to address this kind of situation, is I'll give those kids special assignments. If I see kids who really need more structure, is I'll say, okay, you guys are my crack team. You're my special team. And you are going to pursue this particular task, which will be related to the overall task, but it will have much more structure. And I'll give them, like, the rest of the class is playing a game. Here's the rules of the game. And the rules are negotiable. And you can even hack the game. You know, we've talked about this in the past on the show. And I encourage hacking of the game. But for those kinds of students, if there's only one of them, I'll just give them one special assignment. Or if it's a couple of them, I'll put them in a special group. And I'll say, okay, these are the six things I need to have happen. And I'll even put a time limit on it, too. And I found that time limit actually is encouraging to that learning style. They'll say, you've got 35 minutes to figure this out, and it's got to have these parameters met in this thing. So, for instance, what am I talking about? Like, in a comic sense, I would say, okay, well, the three of you guys are going to make a mini comic together, and you are going to start page one, and you are just going to do the drawings on page one. You, number two, you're going to put the words on that page. While number two, while you're putting the words on that page, number one and number three, you two are going to be negotiating what happens next in the story. And then after number two's done putting the lettering on the page, number three, you're going to draw the next page while number one and two negotiate where the story's going to happen next, or what's going to happen next on the following page. And then when the page moves on, the next person letters while the other two negotiate what happens on the next page. And then I give them like a 30-minute time limit. So don't try to draw it perfect. Don't get too uptight about the way because my classes are traditionally mostly about learning to write with images, not about learning to draw well necessarily. So it's trying to break them out of that that perfectionist thing that some kids, especially teens, fall into, and adults. But it's also about giving them a very rigid, structured activity that has a clear light at the end of the tunnel, and there's a ticking clock, so it still has a fun element where I'm like, 1 minute left, you know. And that means I've got two groups to manage, right? I've got these eight over here who are doing one thing, and I got these three over here doing another thing. But when you're actually engaged in an activity in the classroom, you'd be surprised with how much time you can give two groups over 18 people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had the interesting curveball also of the students were on the first week, they had no machines, right? This is a technology class.
Oh, wow.
Second week, they did have machines. So this last Monday, they had machines, but they were loners, and they were old. So, yeah, it was interesting. So, like, my target platform that I specified in the syllabus, they couldn't run the apps that I was looking to run, which essentially were just Google Chrome and TextMate. That's it.
What?
That's it. So here's what's crazy, right? So here's a mix of, like, I think this is a measure, you tell me, right? I'm happy to be cut down a notch here and whatever, right? But I feel like we accomplished a lot because we did make a web page. Like, so part of the agenda of the day was, we're going to make a web page, we're going to preview it in the browser, and then there was a bunch of other things we're going to do. Because of all the crazy tech problems and whatnot, it got whittled down to just that. And we did actually do, like, essentially two rounds of that where, you know, did some basics and then we extended it. But I don't know if you're familiar with how crappy the built-in text editor is to OS X for trying to make a web page.
Oh, I know that you're talking about text edit.
Yep.
Yeah, with its, I every time I launch it, I take it out of RTF mode and go to plain text mode, because that RTF thing, when you copy and paste between that and anything else, it's always goofed up. That's all I know.
It has a strong preference toward rich text. One case that Apple has not engineered for is someone to open that up, switch to plain text mode, save it as a .html file. Maybe they close it and then they reopen it up again later, also in text edit, right? And it doesn't work.
Yeah.
it doesn't work because it comes back with a black background and black text on a black background, and it doesn't even let you really effectively edit. It's horrible, right? So, do you have any idea how we actually made a web page?
Don't tell me you opened up some kind of HTML text editing app in Chrome.
Nope. That would have been a route too. There'd be challenges as far as accessing the file system with that approach, or we would have to use some kind of cloud-enabled text editor or whatever, which I didn't have in my back pocket. But what I did have is, you know, reasonable knowledge of the command line, right? So we went to Terminal.
Whoa!
And we
launched, a bunch of teenagers into Terminal?
We went to Terminal, and we launched Pico, right? So, and then we made a web page in Pico. And,
wow.
Oh, yeah. And I'm telling you, every single student succeeded in that. There was chaos. There was disorder. It was wild. But every single student in the class succeeded in making a web page in freaking Pico via the command line. And then I guess for not that much reason, but we chose to then open that web page from the command line, which then launched in the default browser Safari. So, because if you do the open command and then space, you know, whatever.html, in our case, it was test.html, because of the file extension, it'll open in Safari, right? It's file association there, right?
Yeah. So you must have felt like a freaking ninja after that.
But yeah, kind of, yeah. I mean, and I had a few other interesting interactions regarding the, because my comfort, I have one of my sort of students is actually a teacher sitting in on the class as well, right? Who's going to be teaching a similar class at some point or what have you. So I don't think they're as comfortable with that style. And I don't think they expected me to just go, well, I guess we're just gonna read websites or something. And I'm like, no, we're making a web page.
They expected you to crack open the big thick book and like say, turn to page 32.
Exactly.
And Sam, would you like to read aloud to the class while I sit here and sip my coffee?
Can you read this HTML document character by character?
Open tag A space href equals quotation mark. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know what though, Rob? Here's my prediction though, is that because you run the class that way, the kids are going to be really stimulated by the class, and they may not even be able to tell why they enjoy it so much. They're just going to know they enjoy it a lot, and that's going to be heard by some of the other instructors. And I got a feeling that you're going to Tom Sawyer some of those other instructors to where they're going to say something to along the lines of, boy, that's no way I'd run a class, and it doesn't even look like anything's happening in there, but the kids love it, so, you know, what harm can it be doing? I know I've told this story before on the regular show where I had a bunch of teenagers. It was springtime. They were all really excitable, and they were feeling kind of punchy and intelligent, and they wanted to say what he thinks, because when you're a teenager, it's all about, you know, jockeying for who's the coolest, and what you use whatever you got to be the coolest, right? Whether it's your strength or your intelligence or your looks or whatever. And so I'm trying to talk about something about storytelling, and one kid just keeps saying mustaches, 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 mustaches. Every time I say, oh, and then, you know, when you're talking about a character arc, here's the beginning, here's the threshold, here's the threshold of adventure and whatever. I'm using all my Campbellian stuff. And then the kid would say, and mustaches. Now, there was a moment there where I had the opportunity to get mad mm-hmm. and shut the kid down, be like, hey, we're doing the thing here. But I realized that that's not the way to get anything done, especially with this age group, work with it. So I stopped and I said, hey, you guys really seem to be interested in mustaches today. You guys want to do something with mustaches for the assignment today? They're like, yeah. So I had them do a mini comic about it was a mini comic with some very strict creative parameters. I forget what it was. It was like 6 pages or less, at least 3 panels per page. You have to play with size. And I said, but the crux of the comic is it should be an argument for how mustaches made the world a better place. Kids were delighted. They all completed their assignment. They were really into it, and they were having such a good time making the comic that it got really loud in my classroom to the point where another instructor came in to yell at me and my class. And so to this other instructor, my room was chaos. It was nobody was learning anything, but
Right.
I was ready to stand up to this person and say, "Look at this room. All these kids completed a 6-page mini comic. They met these creative parameters. These creative parameters taught this, this, and this, and they had a good time doing it. Nobody was hurt. Calm down, lady." But because, this was the first time this ever happened to me, I went to my boss and said, "Hey, there was an incident. Somebody got mad. I got yelled at. I just want to make sure you're cool with this. Or do I need to rein things in my classroom?" And she said to me, she's like, "Are you kidding me? The kids love your class. We get so many signups for your class because the kids have a great time there. I've seen you in action. I know that you know how to teach. So some people here just, they got a very different definition of what teaching is. Some people think teaching is sit down, shut up, and follow the assignment. And if they get in your face about it again, you just send it to me." Well, months later, these more, how shall I put it, rigid instructors poked their head into my class every now and again and saw what was going on. Now, I just defined that my boss was on the side of, "You know how to teach, and if the kids are having a good time, all the better, you know." These other instructors who were originally very frustrated with my classroom management style kind of shrugged their shoulders and said, "Well, as long as they're having fun, you know, I guess, you know." They still don't get it. You know, they still
Right.
don't realize that any kind of learning is happening in my classroom.
Peacefully
But
coexist by blowing it off.
yeah,
Bah, whatever. Bah.
you hippies, you make the streets ugly, but as long as you pay your taxes, I guess, you know.
Exactly.
So.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, and I don't mean to characterize that other perspective as like somehow, diametrically bad or whatever. I don't agree with it. It's not something
Well,
I feel like I could generate with myself. But I wonder about characteristics of it that should I figure out a way to deliver for based on needs of the students, right? So if they need more structure, I would like to answer it in that creative way where it's like, okay, here's some cool parameters. Let's do this.
yeah.
Yeah. So.
No, and sometimes structure is a very, very good thing. You know,
Yeah.
I'm not
Oh,
bashing
exactly.
structure.
Yep.
I'm
Yep.
not
I
bashing
totally
structure,
agree.
but the I will say, and I will I'll go out on a limb and state an opinion, is I do think that the whole sit down and follow the assignment, everybody, is very industrial age. You know,
Holy
and
crap. And that was pretty much what was requested of me, saying where someone's like was like, well, and again, I'm not trying to just call us whatever. And yeah, they're not a lean and tart customer anyway. But either way, I'm happy to talk with you. If you hear this, happy to talk. They were of the perspective that I should stop and wait for everyone to be synchronously following along with every single command. No asynchronous going on as far as loopings to allow the fast kids to go fast and then review and then review. And then the kids who are really fast, I started having like one of them in particular, I'm like, can you help out over here? Like what you did rocks. I want you to help these girls to, get up to speed with what you just did to pull that off.
yep.
And
Very
which I don't even,
standards-based education,
what's that?
right? That they're speaking from a very standards-based education background, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I have the benefit of I found out that my class actually isn't graded,
Oh, that's the best. That means they're actually
Exactly.
going to learn
Oh,
something.
I know. I prepared for it just in case. But yeah, turns out it's not graded, so that's all the more incentive for me to not make it some kind of factory of monotony.
Well, and that's the funny thing is that I find that freedom actually, and man, I'm gonna start talking like a charter school teacher or something, and everybody's gonna be like, "Oh, boo." But I find that that freedom actually liberates me to have real teachable moments. But you know, I mean, no, Rob, I sympathize. I've been right there where I've had certain parents come into my classrooms afterwards, and they say to me, "What's he got to show for his date today? What's he got done?" And the kid has one little drawing done. You know, and like this drawing is not representative of what learning happened in this classroom today. You can't judge by output alone. Output matters, but it's not the final arbiter of what, or the final demonstration of what actually happened in terms of inside that kid's head. I'm like, you talk to that kid in the car on the drive home tonight. You ask that kid about storytelling. That kid's going to fill your brain up with stuff. But don't judge it based on this. I didn't say it that way to the dad, of course, because that dad's a paying parent. My salary is contingent on whether or not he decides it's worth it. But at the same time, no, that's a real tension that happens with education, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. And as does the a healthy, critical thinking, collaborative environment between customers and service providers.
Yeah.
That's also an ongoing tension.
But so, think of it this way, Rob. I mean, like, this is another thing. It's like, if this discussion happens, and I know you won't shy away from it, but it is kind of, in a way, your responsibility to instruct these people too, right?
Oh, to advocate for the perspective I'm following. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You have to. So, and if not for you or people like me, then for those kids too, right? So, and I personally think that your gentle style would put you in good stead anyway. I don't think anybody would be like, oh, office politics, time to get this bum out of here. I think it'd be more of like, oh, this guy gave me a lot to think about, and I'm not sure if I like him because he's challenging me too much. And then in weeks to come, they'd be like, okay, he's not that bad. So, anyway, I don't know how long we've been running, Rob.
We are at 26 minutes.
So. Oh, good. That's not bad.
No, that's a really good warm-up. It's a big topic, but I think we actually had a legitimate like narrative.
We said stuff.
Yeah.
To beat on that tired old drum that I'm always whacking on. Did I say stuff? I don't even know.
Stuff was said. Stuff was said.
All right. How are we going to end these ones, Rob? How do we end the warm-ups?
We used to end them with essentially a non sequitur style thing. I often would blurt out a song reference or what have you.
That's right.
Yeah.
So what? So like so here's the non sequitur, and it's not non sequitur, because I'm going to explain it. I've been watching The Voice. Mm-hmm. That what is it, the competitive singing show on TV?
Oh, okay, yep.
Where four musicians sit in chairs and like they decide whether or not you're good enough to actually be a musician, as if they can decide that. One of the things they do is like the Olympics thing with this is like every contestant, they have to tell some kind of tragic backstory about the contestant, how this is their last shot. They're 14 years old, but this is their last shot at stardom, you know, because this means everything to them. And I think it's that kind of corny melodrama that appeals to me. It's but not in the good way. I'm kind of laughing at it, as long as it's like so bad, it's good kind of thing. I think that's what's at work there. But so they always tell the story about like, oh, well, you know, my dad had a cold 2 years ago, and this is for dad kind of thing. And they do their best to concoct some kind of like, oh, it's a painful, tearful story of why this kid needs to be a singer. Mm-hmm. And then it always ends with the kid walking onto the stage going, this is my last chance. It's make it or break it. It's do or die. I'm crossing the Rubicon. It's all or nothing. I'm cashing in my chips. This is the last stand. And they whip out every cliche. This is the last chance phrasing ever. So I'm wondering, did I miss one, Rob, for closing out this episode? A cliched epithet of, you know, this is the last end of the line.
Oh my God. You brought up like a whole giant topic. Cause this is about errors in human cognition. It's a fallacy thing of,
Ooh, is that the next warm up? Is that a preview of what's to come?
Oh dude, I've been thinking about it, cause it's actually a good exercise in meetings and in to think about what are our errors going on here. I'm going to say that, if we don't finish this podcast on time, the world's going to come to an end.
And there you have it.
Yep.